Judgment boundaries. Let's look at how our judgments can create a conflict of interest. Actually, in some cases, judging has gotten a bad name, so to speak, because it's been confused with the assigning of blame. Judgments, of course, are, however, an essential part of the therapeutic responsibility, and to be effective, our judgments must be made objectively and soundly and based on acceptance of the client. Obviously, to avoid a therapeutic conflict of interest, this requires that you make and use judgments based on something more objective than your own personal value system. We'll now explore the specific component of your personal value system related to judgments. Exploration of your judgments requires what I call a two-sided reality, based upon your two views, your view of your client and your view of the situation or context of your client's behavior. I'll refer to these views as the individual view and the situational view. You'll note this corresponds with the first two steps in Robinson's ethical decision-making process. If you recall, Robinson's first two steps are, what is the context of the situation, and what are my client's goals? Followed by the question, is there a potential harm? By looking at the context, we're looking at the larger picture. By looking at the client goals, we look at the smaller picture. Let's explore the smaller or individual view first. As you know, this individual perspective enables you to empathize with your client, to participate in your client's feelings and ideas without being a part of them, and to understand how the client perceives him or herself and the situation. It also includes how the client thinks and feels. In short, you're able to hear the beat of the different drummer to which your client marches. This microview is essential for an awareness of possible conflicts of interest to understand and to reconcile similarities and discrepancies between your client's individual view and the larger picture. For example, in the case of a suicide risk, judgments regarding forced treatment such as a commitment to a hospital or placing the client under the constant care and surveillance of a significant other violates much of the implicit and explicit contract boundaries and understandings between you and your client. Thus, the client's view is essential in assessing, for example, his or her fantasies associated with suicide. I have found, and perhaps you have too, that clients who have positive fantasies about their death may be more at risk for suicide than, say, clients who have painful or difficult fantasies or no fantasies at all. I treated a suicidal client, Karen, who was a mother and had painful fantasies that involved her children's lives should she commit suicide. Karen feared for their welfare after her death and had guilt about her consideration of suicide as a possible answer. Thus, my judgment regarding whether to commit her to an inpatient unit to prevent possible harm to herself was based upon looking at Karen's perspective versus the situational perspective. My individual view was Karen's negative fantasy as it related to how she applied it to the larger view, or situational view of her children. This caused me to make a judgment that she was not at risk for suicide. Thus, the conflict of interest related to the client's right to self-determination. My duty to protect from harm to self was resolved based on my judgment by evaluating Karen's perspective as it related to her fear for her children's well-being. The larger view, as well as all its ramifications, need to be perceived. Conflicts of interest can be ethically resolved by understanding the client and the client's behavior within the context and interrelationships of the total situation. As you know, how wide an area this view must encompass will depend on the situation the therapist must comprehend and deal with in order to assist the client. Therapy judgments made on the basis of the correlation of the individual versus societal frames of reference are much more likely to possess the objectivity which is essential to avoid the unethical judgments and condemning activities that tend to inhibit the formation of effective relationships. In summary, the two sides of reality are, number one, reality as it is, and number two, reality as the client sees it. These must be fully comprehended before the therapist can make a valid judgment. Question 15. What are the two sides of reality?